Hello, podcast family. My name is Duncan Masua, and you're listening to the world's best podcast presented by One IFRA Digital Media Awards. Now, the shocking ranking of South African ports on a global index have raised a lot of concerns. Experts say the Port of Cape Town's official ranking as one of the worst performing ports in the world, according to the Global Container Port Performance Index, is worrying and damaging to South Africa's reputation as an export country. We find out more from Chris Kritzer, Managing Director of Link Supply Chain Management, a logistics company co-owned by TrueCape. Chris, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you for making time to chat with us on a very important topic. South Africa's ports have been in the media for quite some time. It's definitely not a new issue. You know, some would even go as far as saying that there's no surprise to the Container Port Performance Index and their findings when it comes to South Africa's ports. Give us a brief overview of Link Supply Chain Management. Who are you and exactly what is your role there as Managing Director?
At Link Supply Chain Management is 100% owned by five leading fruit producer exporters based in the Western Cape. So our owners and shareholders is TrueCape Fruit Marketing, Ceres Fruit Growers, Tuaday, Tutoe Agri and Maton Citrus. We are 4PL providing supply chain solutions from the point where the product becomes available at the packhouse up to the point where the consignee takes receipt of the product at final destination. We're contracting with shipping lines. We contract with other logistics service providers on behalf of our shareholders or owners. And Link is an extension of the supply chains. And we help with the operational execution of the fruit exports across South Africa in the most cost-effective way. That's how we add value to our shareholders and owners.
You know, Cape Town's port has been ranked among the worst performing in the world. I'm always quite skeptical when it comes to these international reports. How bad is it really? And how has the ranking affected the perception of South Africa's export capabilities?
It obviously has a negative impact. We want to be seen by the world as a reliable exporter of produce and to build and grow our export markets. And yes, you're absolutely right. You know, these various stats and measurements to evaluate port operations. And yes, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, we've been ranked very low in the previous version of this report. But for me and in my view, the most important measurement in a port operation is the gross crane moves per hour. So that is one of the measurements, and that measures the average number of completed container movements per hour. And why this is so important is it drives your landside operations on the one end, as well as your sea operations. So in other words, the quicker the port loads containers, the quicker trucks can move in and out of the port, and the quicker ships can turn around and leave the port on route to final destination. Maybe just to put things in context, in August 2012, the average gross crane moves per hour, Transnet reported at a level of 30 moves per hour. In September and October 2012, it was at a level of 33 moves per hour. Today, we're actually standing on 12 to 13 moves per hour. So it just shows where we are in terms of productivity level out of a port operation perspective.
That's definitely concerning, and maybe touching on it from a perspective of the perception that this low ranking then has on South Africa's export capabilities, particularly for the fruit industry. Any thoughts there?
In terms of the impact on the fruit industry, I mean, the consequences of this port operations, as I mentioned, has significant impact on the landside operation. So in terms of turnaround time of trucks, in the past, trucks could turn around roughly 3 to 4 times per day, running containers into port, going back out, collect the empty and return again. Today, we're running at maybe 1 or, if we're lucky, 2 turnarounds on these trucks. And the impact of that on a fixed cost basis for these truck operators is massive. And we see year-on-year rate increases of plus minus 14%, and that is excluding your fuel. And if you take inflation is roughly 5%, it just means it is those inefficiencies that just translate in additional cost. Then also in terms of the flow of product, by not having a constant flow of product, it means pack houses can't pack properly. They don't see the high productivity levels in their operations. And that means that growers have to stop picking. Then also a potential loss of product in the orchards. So all of that has cost impact. And at the end of the day, the growers are carrying the risk of these inefficiencies. In terms of ship operation, the impact of the slow or low productivity vessels bypass the port of Cape Town because it takes too long for these ships to get into port and get the ship turned around again. And by ships bypassing Cape Town port, it results in a loss of capacity. In other words, shipping opportunities get lost and fruit has to be rolled over to the next sailing. And what we've seen, a global perspective, that container freight rates has sharply dropped internationally post-COVID, roughly 30%. And in South Africa, we haven't seen that steep decline in the freight rate levels as what we've seen in international trade. That is also eroding value in our supply chain. And maybe just the last point on this, this erratic or inconsistent supply into markets have also a negative impact on our foothold in these markets. So we're not seen as a reliable supplier of fruit. And therefore, we can't establish and grow our markets in an effective way.
Now, Chris, with Cape Town's port being at the bottom of the Container Port Performance Index, what specific challenges are fruit exporters like True Cape facing?
The consequences of poor port operations impact on two ends, and the landside operation and ship operations. On the landside operations with slow port productivity, trucks bringing the containers into port can't turn around as quickly. In the past, they could manage 3 to 4 trips per day. Today, it's roughly 1 or maybe 2 trips if they are lucky. And this inefficiencies increase the fixed cost for transport operations. And we've seen a 14% increase, excluding fuel, on our transportation cost, while inflation is around plus minus 5%. So if there's no consistent flow or loadouts from the fruit pack houses, they have to stop packing and growers have to stop picking and you have the potential of product loss in the orchards. So therefore, it reaches far back into the land operations and growers have to truck product to alternative ports, like for instance, Port Elizabeth, and this erodes value in the supply chain. On the ship operations side, with a slow port operations and congestions, vessels bypass the port of Cape Town. And this means a loss of shipping capacity and the fruit is rolled over to the next vessel. What we've seen, container shipping freight rates are really driven by supply and demand. Freight rates were coming down post-COVID by plus minus 30% on international trade lanes. But in South Africa, we didn't see similar decline in the ocean freight rates. With vessels bypassing the Cape Town port, this results in an erratic or inconsistent supply of fruit to the market. And with that, we lose credibility with overseas buyers and we don't have product on the shelves, leaving a gap open for our competitors, let's say Chile, to take that place in the market. Another consequence is, out of a ship operations perspective, is that we lose services. Vessels doesn't call the Cape Town port, and it gives us limited options to open new markets and to grow our markets. That really erodes value in our supply chain.
Now, if all of this impacts South Africa and our export abilities, as you've noted, quite in a big way, and it seems like the South African fruit industry then faces stiff competition from Chile, who have in fact improved their position on the index. With Chile's ports having significantly improved their rankings, what are the main differences between their approach and South Africa's, and possibly what can we learn from this, Chris?
So San Antonio is one of the biggest ports in Chile, and they are run by DP World. So that port is privatized, and DP World is one of the biggest terminal operators in the world. They operate various ports across the globe, and the private operators do have the skill and they do have the capital backing to improve operations. So I think that is a big game changer in their operations.
And I suppose it all comes down to solutions. It's clear that we are faced with a situation where we not only need short-term strategies, but also long-term strategies. Chris, in your opinion, what long-term strategies do you believe are necessary to address the issues at Cape Town's port and improve its global ranking?
During the past 6 to 8 months, there were some constructive staff changes and Transnet at senior level, which is very positive. Transnet do have a detailed terminal recovery plan that was put into action, and some of the initiatives was implemented, like they've sourced 7 second-hand rubber tire gantries, which was put in operation, and that was help from the private sector. They've installed new engines on these RTGs. They increased the trucking capacity within the terminal. They've done some training with their staff on the NAMIS system. So Transnet is focusing on the right things, and that is great. But we need all these plans needs to be executed with excellence, and it also needs to be implemented with speed. I think we'll probably 6 to 12 months, because Transnet is a big operation. But if there's no improvement, then the only other alternative is to go for privatization and to get private capital into these ports and run it.
Chris, with that said, what is your message to South African fruit producers?
The issue is we don't really have too many alternatives. So we're really dependent on Transnet to fix the ports and to make sure we stay competitive in the global market. And as I said earlier, Transnet has made some changes. There is positive changes on the go, and they need to move fast with the implementation of the plans to get back to 30 gross crane moves per hour as what we've seen in 2012. If we get back to those levels, then we're back in the game and we'll be able to compete effectively with our global competitors.
Thanks for joining us, Chris Kreutzer, Managing Director of Link Supply Chain Management, a logistics company co-owned by TrueCape. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzansi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.